Gospel chapter 25, where we have been studying the subject, in the name, what is the authority of believing? That is, what comes with believing the gospel? There are some songs that we used to sing that, and the song looks more sensual. I may be judgmental. Darling Jesus, oh my darling Jesus, you're a wonderful God. I love you so, my darling Jesus, oh my darling Jesus, you're a wonderful God. Yeah, no, that's not the part I want to sing. I've seen Jesus, I have seen Jesus, he's so handsome. Your husband is there, he's so handsome than any man I know. Hallelujah. I've seen Jesus. He lives in my heart. He's so handsome. How can someone live in your heart? He's handsome. What was the basis of the handsomeness? Hallelujah. What comes with believing? What's the authority in believing? Luke's Gospel 24. Quickly, just do the study. How many of you are coping with so many subjects? Are you coping? You have to look at which note is this one. You know, I'm sorry for that. Luke's Gospel 24. Okay, let's start from the 25. That's the first one. And it says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's the Old Testament prophecy. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, that's the word, explain in detail unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, like we said, the subject matter really can't be his death, because they just saw him die. The subject matter is his resurrection, because that's where he said, ought not. And the Greek construction is more on the glory than the death. Ought not, that is, it is therefore necessary, because the discussion was, okay, he has died. Has he been raised from the dead? Is he alive? Are you guys this foolish? The word is actually, you foolish. Not that they are fools, their action was foolish. Anetos, that is, they are not thinking through. Slow of heart, which is the word, kadia, to not think well. You are not reasoning through. To believe all that the prophets have said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And that is, the issue is that he has entered into his glory. Then he showed them all of that. So they didn't go back to the disciples, the other ones, to tell them that Christ died. They went to say he is alive, because that's the glory he was talking about. Now again in verse 44. He says to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Pay attention here. And he says that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And then verse 46 says, this is what they understood. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the point. And then 47, and that repentance, pay attention here, and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Should be preached in his name. Two things now. To enter into his glory, which we read in verse 25. And 26. Then he calls that glory his name. In other words, he speaks of an office, a title, a position. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? In other words, he enters into the name. Jesus himself entered into the name. So we aren't dealing with J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Some guys even got us a song years ago, 97, I think. Give me a big J, J, justified me, E, elevated me, S, sanctified me, U.S. umbrella over me, yes. That's the way I like it. Very, very serious. When you talk like that, you don't know the name of Jesus. When you start to say, J means, U means, S means, sometimes stupid. Look at John's account. John's account was very vital in what he said. John's account. Now, this is what John recorded in the prayer of Jesus. Remember that prayer in the garden that you and I just felt that for 3 hours or more, he just said, Lord, let this cup pass over me, not my will, yet your will be done. One hour after he came, Lord. John is about to tell us the will to be done. Alright, so John gave us the detail of the prayer. Hallelujah. Just like when Jesus said, after this manner pray ye, and we are reciting it. I knew that thing before I knew who Jesus was. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know. And what he meant was this. When you are about to pray, know this one. He wasn't asking you to recite it. He was telling them who the Father was. He didn't say recite it. That's why nobody recited that prayer. That it wasn't a prayer. It was a manner that he gave them. That when you are praying, look at this. Our Father. Fatherhood of God, who was in heaven. Because he had been talking about the Father from chapter 5. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will is done on earth. What is his will? So you give us this day our daily bread. What's that? You forgive us our trespasses. I told you to put the word what? What should you put before every statement? You. So it becomes an affirmation. You give us this day our daily bread. You forgive us our trespasses. So that we might forgive those who trespass against us. You lead us not into temptation. But you deliver us from the evil one. Thine is thy kingdom. He was talking about the will of God in prayer. It is a recite it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how I learned it first. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, forever and ever. Forever and ever. Amen. Bless these food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Plus Jesus, minus Satan. You know, as parents, when you teach your children about Christ, teach them properly. Don't teach them terrible things. You see, if you steal that meat, God will be angry with you. And when he's angry with you, God hates stealing. I said, God will not bless you. Because you are the God you are talking about. Hallelujah. If you want to last in life, you listen to your parents. You'll be destroyed. And you disobey God. And you are not destroyed. Why should you train people with a wrong view of God? Don't forget. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where were we? All right, John 17. And this is life eternal. Glory, glory, glory. I'll start from 2. Now start from 1. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Aion Zoe. A-I-O-N. I-O-N Zoe. Or Aion Zoe. A life that is forever. Now, this was not available till Jesus rose from the dead. So Jesus is talking about his resurrection here. John 17:3. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Have glorified thee on earth. Have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Look at the word glory. It's the word doxazo. D-O-X-A-Z-O. It means to confer honor. To confer honor. Or to speak highly of. Then in verse 5, he says, O now Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Listen carefully now. Jesus is talking about his resurrection. He calls that resurrection eternal life. In that eternal life, they will know you. That is, the resurrection reveals the heart of God. He calls eternal life his resurrection, his glory. That they will know you. Say, this glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. Now hear this. This is not saying that Jesus had a throne. And that throne, he now left it. He now came back to it. No. He's talking about the promise of eternal life. That was given to man. If you have been studying with us, we just did a study yesterday on sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we explained the word, kataboli? Was that the word? Before the foundation of the world. Pro kataboli. Can you remember? Oh, good. Before time began. Titus 1:2. Look at Titus 1:2. Titus 1:2. Glory to God. Titus 1:2. I remember. One day I was preaching somewhere, late 1996, and I told them I was going to teach. The theme of that convention was the God that answers by fire. And if you know Nigeria then, between 94 and 95, there was a popular program, and this is not to disparage anybody, where the song is, the God that answers by fire. Who knows that program? It will be my God, the God that answers by fire. He will be my God. You don't know that program? Every night, they'll be casting out devils and all sort of stuff. So they called the theme, the God that answers by fire. I was supposed to speak. I was the first speaker. And I said, the things God cannot do. As a younger preacher, I don't think I didn't have much tact. I think it was 95. And I said, number one, God cannot lie. Yes. God can do anything. How can God do anything? Isn't that funny? God cannot lie. So here's Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hallelujah. But as in these due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Before the world. Proskosmos. Ephesians 1:5. Glory, glory, glory. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look at 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So the glory Jesus was referring to has to do with salvation. It's the glory that has to do with men. The resources, the riches available. So go back to John 17. And thou, O Father, glorify thee with thine own self. Now that was a very strong word by Jesus. It's a word that has to do with something he doesn't give a third party to do. That obviously is resurrection. Are you there? So he says, I have manifested, verse 6, thy name unto men, that thou givest me, which thou givest out of the world, that then thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Praise the Lord. So he's saying here, that what is the will of God on earth is to give eternal life to men. When he said, thy will be done on earth, that is his will. And when that is given, there's forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. We are delivered from the evil one. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? So, when you read that Lord's Prayer, popularly called Lord's Prayer, it's an affirmation of the will of God. That's the will of God in prayer. That when you pray, remember this. It's our Father who art in heaven. His name is hallowed. His kingdom has come. What is his kingdom? His will is done. He forgives our trespasses so that we can forgive those who trespass against us. He delivers us from the evil one. His is that kingdom, the power and the glory. Hallelujah. Affirmations of the will of God. So when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I said, let this cup pass over me. Hallelujah. What he meant wasn't that I don't want to die. No. Let it move quickly. Hallelujah. Let it move quickly. Hallelujah. Because he was going to suffer. He said, not my will, but your will be done. What is his will? That he will be raised from the dead. And the will of God has been done. I said, the will of God has been done. Jesus was raised from the dead. Look at verse 6 again. So he says, I have manifested your name. Now, last week and the week before, we looked at the word name. It's the word onoma. Onoma is a title or an office or an event or an accomplishment. So what is he talking about? He spoke about his glory, spoke about eternal life, all in the same name, all in the same event. Look at verse 21. Are you in church? Are you in church? Verse 21. Let's take it together. Come on, let's go. Everybody, let's go. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and the world may know that you have sent me, and you have loved them as thou hast loved me. Hallelujah. That's not the unity of the churches. No. That identification with the Father in Christ. He calls it eternal life. He calls it the glory. He calls it the name. So, Jesus is saying to us that the name, the glory of God in the resurrection, hear this well, the glory of God in the resurrection is our union with God. That's his glory. In John 14, he said the same thing. Watch this. In John 14, in verse 2, in my Father's house, he says, are many mansions. In my Father's house, there are many mansions there. We all used to look forward to that mansion. And we'll pray. Say, brethren, do you know that for every time you do a wrong thing, a cement peels off from your mansion? Brethren, you are going to look at your life now. How many blocks have been broken from your mansion? Some of you don't even have mansions. You don't have, your lands don't have sea of gold. Then a dear sister, highly rated spirit sister. The sister will tell us that before she dresses up, she asks the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what should I wear? And when you see what she wears, you know it is the Spirit that gave her. So she was telling us how she died. And she went to heaven. Ah. She said when she got to heaven, she saw that her mansion was a very small shop. Ah. As she said that, I told myself. She said, the house was not painted. Just plastered. In the spirit.
At that point, you know, sense has not fallen on you. Then she went ahead and said, you know, as I looked at the house again, there was no roof. I said, eh? At that point, I was still not thinking. She now said, it now began to rain. And she felt the rain. I said, oh. Even on earth, there's a distance you get to. There's a raining beneath you. I said, sis didn't go to heaven. Sis had a nightmare. But I wasn't bold to say anything, you know, at that point. If I dare tell you, say, you? Is your name in the book of life first? But you are even saying anything about who is talking Bible while you are talking? Even in the nylon bag by which they carry the book of life, your name is not there. The paper bag. Go and sit down. Go and pray to the Lord. Change my heart, oh God. Think you can have a vision of heaven? It's only here you will be seen. But here's Jesus. In my Father's household, the word hoikia is used for a household, are many places. Mone, spaces. If we are not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Praise the Lord. And where I am, there you may be also. They use the word here, heitoimazo, in the Greek. It means to create a space inside. So Jesus is creating a mansion where? In us. The mansion is not a room in a heavenly Jerusalemic estate where you buy your own portion. What you have is mansion 8, 4 bedroom, you have 5 bedroom. Some people have face me, I face you. Some have self-contained. You know, we are so greedy that even in spiritual things, you want to, okay, you alone, 10 bedroom. Who will be staying there? Assuming that's what you're talking about. What would you be doing with 10 bedroom building? One of your legs will be one. You know, it's just greed. What he was talking about was the Father's house. This mansion is here. Hallelujah. He went ahead to explain what he meant. Look at verse 16. Let's say verse 16 together. I pray the Father, let's go, and he shall give you, that he may abide with you for how long? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him, nor neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells where? And shall be where? Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you shall see me because I live. That's eternal life. Hallelujah. Look at verse 20 together. Let's go. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and where? That is the name. Hallelujah. That's the accomplishment of Christ. So when he says in verse 12, very, very, I say unto you, he that believes on me, that is he that believes in my resurrection. John 3:16. Whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That's a resurrection. John 6:47. He that believes has everlasting life. That's a resurrection. John 3:36. He that believes has eternal life. He gives that life to them. That's a resurrection. John 10:10. I'm come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's eternal life. That's his resurrection. He says, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater than this, because I go to my Father. Now hold on. What do you mean because I go to my Father? Because in that day you know I am in you. So the going to my Father is not an absence. It is what? A presence. Who's following this? Come on. The going to the Father is not a departure, it's a coming to you. Where I am, there you'll be also. He said in that day, where did he tell us the Father will be? He said, I am in my Father, I am in you, and you are where? In me. Read John 17. He said, the same glory I give to you, that we may be what? One. So the name of Jesus speaks of our identification. The name of Jesus speaks of our identification. The name of Jesus is the spirit within us. Don't forget, the name of Jesus refers to the accomplishment of Christ. What is that accomplishment? He has given us the spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So can we call the indwelling of the spirit the name of Jesus? I ask a question, church. Can we call the indwelling of the spirit the name of Jesus? So the name of Jesus is the indwelling of the Father. The indwelling of the spirit. So when we say in my name, we mean in the resurrection. Hallelujah. In the resurrection. What he has accomplished in the resurrection. Look at Acts 2:21. See that there? It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is he saying, call on Jesus? No. Whosoever will call on what he has done. Because here, Peter is preaching about the resurrection of Christ. Look at verse 33 or 32. This Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. So let's follow the name now. Look at 33. Let's go. Therefore, exalted, and have been received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Everybody come on now. He has shed forth this which you now see. Let's take verse 34 together. For David is not ascended unto heavens, but he seeth himself. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make. So is the right hand the name? Is the right hand the name? Okay, look at verse 33. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. How did he make him that? By raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. So when you call upon that name, what happens? You are saved. Now, hold on there. Look at one word that Peter uses here in verse 33. Being by the right hand of God exalted is the Greek word hupsos. H-U-P-S-O-S. H-U-P-S-O-S. In John 12, verse 32, nobody is saved because he saw Jesus die. Nobody is saved because he saw Jesus, he heard that Jesus died. Salvation comes only from the resurrection of Jesus. John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Let's take verse 32 together. John 12, 32. Let's go. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. Verse 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, hold on. You know, this is not a, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up on the world to see. For he said, if I be lifted up on the earth, I will draw men unto me. Mm-mm. You can't lift him in this way. What he meant here is his death. Now, the lifting up is not his death. The lifting up is what happened after his death. Hupsos. He will be exalted. Exalted from death. And he says he will draw men. That is, his resurrection will save men. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So in John 3, the word hupsos in John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up,
that whosoever believes on him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, he's speaking about his resurrection. That word hupsos means to exalt. In Matthew 11:23, to be lifted up is to be exalted. Matthew 11:23. But thou Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, and shall be brought down to hell. Exalted, lifted up. Matthew 23:12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Luke 15:2 and Luke 10:15. So the word means to be exalted from a position of humility, a position where you are down. So when Jesus used that word, lifted up, he meant, I will be brought down. Referring to his death. And in that death, I will be exalted. Look at Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So when you read that word, exalted, or lifted up, it refers to the resurrection of Christ. So in that resurrection, God gave him a name. Or he has a name. That resurrection now has a name. A name goes with it. An office goes with it. Look at Philippians 2. Everything he has accomplished in that resurrection is invested in that name. Philippians chapter 2. Still out there? Look at this. Verse 5. Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Can you see humility now? He came down and became obedient unto what? Even the death. Let's take verse 9 together. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Hallelujah. That is in his resurrection. He became greater than the incarnation. In his resurrection, he became greater than the earthly ministry that he carried. In his resurrection, he is exalted. So when you hear, he gave him a name, it doesn't mean that the name is now, he used to bear Jesus, is now Jesus Christ. Stop that. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Which refers to his earthly ministry. So he gave him a name, didn't mean that is the letters in his name have changed to Jesus's. He gave him a name, means he now has an office. He has been exalted. That's what he says. Above every name. Paul uses another word here, huperupsos. H-U-P-E-R. Used just once in the entire New Testament Greek. H-U-P-E-R. R-U-P-S-O. Where he merges two words. Oh, hallelujah. Huper. H-U-P-E-R is huper. That is beyond targets. Beyond limits. Beyond the incarnation. Beyond the ministry in the four gospels. And of course, beyond his death. He goes beyond measure. He gives Jesus an office he never had in the four Gospels. Above every name. Then he says, that at the name of Jesus,
every knee should bow. Hallelujah. Every of things in heaven, or remove the word things, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Referring to judgment. That the Father has committed all judgments to Him. This is not a scripture for casting out of demons. You see, every knee should bow. I remember something I taught in this scripture. Don't let me tell you. About knee and tongue. I just went traditional. And people say, ooh! Or ambulance, what's that one? Wow, 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 wow. Woo, 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 woo. You know, you have ambulance in the church. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Referring to the judgment as we committed to Jesus upon His resurrection. John 5. See, every knee of every president should bow. That means he will kneel down. That's not what he's talking about. John 5. Watch this. Verse 19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these things doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, verse 20, and shows Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than this, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens, even so the Son quickens whom He will. Look at verse 22. Let's say 22 together. But the Father judges no man. He has committed all judgment to the Son. That's what He means. All judgment. That is, in the resurrection, He commits all judgment to the Son. Acts 17. So in His resurrection, Jesus becomes the judge. He becomes the authority, the ruler, the prince of life. In His resurrection. The resurrection qualifies Him to give life. The resurrection qualifies Him to give assurance to men. Acts 17. Verse 32. I'll start from 31. Because He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He had ordained, whereof He has given assurance to all in that He had raised Him from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus confers on Him the judgment of all men. That's why He said, God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believes, He says, cannot be condemned. But he that does not believe, he's condemned already, because he has not believed that God gave His Son. So the moment a man refuses that name, what's that name? That God raised Jesus from the dead. What happens to him? He's condemned. So the resurrection of Jesus confers authority on him. Christianity is the only faith in the world that claims that its Savior, its Master, is alive. He's not alive in some planet. He's alive here now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the judgment of the world. So the name of Jesus means He is now the ruler. In Matthew 28 verse 18, He says, all authority He's given to me in heaven and on earth. That only happened when He rose from the dead. He never said that in the four Gospels. He said that upon His resurrection. So today, He's at the right hand of the Father. When we say right hand of the Father, we don't mean the right hand of His body. No. What do you mean by right hand? Go to Psalm 110 and verse 1. Still in church? The right hand. Somebody saw a vision one time. He said, I saw Jesus at the right hand of God, begging God. He said, cool down. And he was fanning the father. Easy, easy. Don't get angry. And he saw Satan at the left hand. Oh, you know. Obviously, the person is going to a wrong church. They are teaching you drama. You know, there are some visions you will stop having when you have proper knowledge. They will just disappear. How many of you know the last time you had a vision of rapture was when you got to know what the rapture was all about? It just stops. You won't know, you won't just see it again. At all. I once had a vision of rapture after we had acted a drama where I missed the rapture. And truly, I missed the rapture. I shared with some brothers and said, "Ah, brother, you check your life. The Lord is telling you something." Eh? You know? So, this folks said, Jesus was at the right hand, and then Satan was at the left. As Jesus was begging the Father, the devil was saying, "No, now, no, no." And I said, "Do you know what right hand means? Right hand is not the geographical area of the Father's body." Psalm 110 verse 1 explains what it is. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." Now the word right, actually the word hand is just there for explanation. In the Hebrew, is "sit down at my right," which is the word yamin. Let's see how it's used. Exodus 15 verse 6. "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy." So it speaks of authority and power. Verse 12. "Thou stretch out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them up." Psalm 16, verse 8. "I've set the Lord always before me, because at my right hand I shall never be moved." So, in verse 11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forever." This is not a church service. This refers to the resurrection of Christ. Go to Acts 2. Peter told us what was David talking about. Acts 2. Verse 25. Let's take it together. Acts 2, 25. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Are you there? Let's go. "For David speaks concerning him." Concerning who? Concerning Christ. Let's go. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved." Go to verse 26 again. "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." 27. "Neither would I suffer than only one to see." 28. "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance." That's what "at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." Look at 29. Let's go. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, for he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day." 30, let's go. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath, that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he will raise up" what? Let's take verse 31 together. "He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." 32, "This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are" what? So the right hand of God refers to his authority. His authority. And in this text, it's talking about the resurrection of Christ. Go back to Psalm 110. So he says, "The Lord said to my Lord." Hear this now. "The Lord said to my Lord." The Greek, the Hebrew scholars, they try to explain this in their use of words. And though it can be tricky. And they say, Yahweh, which is the explanation of the name God. Yahweh said to Adonai. God said to Adonai. Why would they say Adonai? He said, the Lord said to my Lord. By saying that, David is talking about the incarnation of Christ. Because my Lord will be humanity. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Look at Matthew 22. So David foresaw two things. The incarnation of Christ, God in man, and his resurrection from the dead. Look at Matthew 22. See that there? Are you still there? Look at verse 42. Jesus now called the Pharisees and asked them a question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, he's the son of David. Then he said, yeah. Because there's a promise that he will raise up a seed of David to sit on the throne. Then he now asked them, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And from that day, the Bible says, they didn't ask him any questions. He had gone beyond their comprehension. He brings in that prophecy, the incarnation of Christ. And not just that, his resurrection. What is called the hypostatic union. God said to Adonai, my Lord, in his humanity, sit at the right hand. Hallelujah. Again, what does right hand mean? Authority, power. That means take my place. You don't give your right hand to people. Your right hand is all you have. That's all your authority. That's all your power. The moment you give your right hand, which refers to your authority and power, to someone, that means we won't see you again. That person takes your place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Father has given all judgment to who? To the Son. All authority. That's the right hand. So look at it again. He said, and so when you read Matthew 16, hear this. Sorry, Mark 16 and verse 19. After the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in the heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Are you expecting to see the left side of God? Huh? What does it mean? Jesus assumed all authority. It's the same thing in Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. The same thing John said. You have glorified me with your own glory. You have given me your own glory. And he says, the glory you gave me, who did he give it to? He gave it to us. Hallelujah. Let me see if they're following this. Come on. So that same glory, I give it. So, when he says, sit at my right hand. Now, of course, in normal English, when you say sit, it means to take a seat. But that word is the word yashab. Psalm 110 verse 1. In the Hebrew, it means remain there. It's a word used for dwell somewhere. So it's not sit so that you can stand. And in that, in the Hebrew, it sounds like this. Continue sitting. That is, that throne is forever. Hallelujah. That throne is forever. God gave all to Jesus forever. He will remain there. Hallelujah. See that there? So in John 14, when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. Is that place the right hand? Remember we said, His going is actually coming. I will not leave you comfortless. Can you remember? I will come to you. In that day, you will know I am in my Father. I am in you. And you are in me. So the right hand of the Father is a place of rest today. A place of rest. A place of rest. It refers to his indwelling, where Christ is now. I'll close here. Paul puts it this way. In Ephesians chapter 1, he's praying for the saints. Say that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Then in verse 19 he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or heavenlies, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Then he says, that put all things under his feet, and give the head over all things to the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2 verse 1. And you, whom has he quickened? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. He says in verse 2, Ephesians 2, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation. So see, he's taking your attention of the right hand away from a space. He's not talking to man. He says, among whom we all had our conversation in time past. Remember, in Ephesians 2:2, he said we had walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the kingdom. He says, but now, in verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, with great love wherewith he has loved us, he says he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He has raised us up. Oh, glory to God. And made us sit together in Christ. So where is the kingdom of God? Where is the right hand of God? God's kingdom is not a planet. God's kingdom is in man. God is not a ruling planet. He didn't send Christ to rule a planet. He sent Christ to be Prince of Life in man. The right hand today is where we are. The right hand today is where we are. Our eternal union with the Father, found in Christ. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying in the authority of the new birth, in the authority of the indwelling of the Spirit, in the authority of the family, in the authority of who I am in Christ, in the authority of the new creation in Christ. Because the name refers to what Christ has accomplished. Christ did not accomplish a new planet. Christ did not accomplish a city somewhere. Christ accomplished a people. Today you and I are the custodians of the name. The indwelling of the Father. It's the authority that comes with believing. As I have believed, I am at the right hand of the Father. As I have believed, the Father is dwelling in me. The name of Jesus is the letters put together. The name of Jesus is the accomplishment of Christ when he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Let me give you a hint and we close. Hebrews chapter 1. See how the book of Hebrews calls it. Hebrews chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the name of Jesus is not a pronunciation of letters. The name of Jesus is a position. It's a place. It's a dwelling. Hallelujah. It's a dwelling. Look at it. Hebrews 1. Are you still there? Verse 3.
within the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, upon all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. What did he do? What did he do? Sat down the right of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Don't get lost here now. Look at verse 6. Unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Is that the incarnation or the resurrection? Look at this. And again I'll be to my father, he shall be to me a son. See what comes to the right hand. Look at verse 6. Again, when he brings what? When he brings what? When he brings what? Why did he use first? Because he's going to bring many sons. So the name speaks of a family. Many sons. Many sons. So it can't be the incarnation. In the incarnation he was the anointed one. In the incarnation he was the only begotten son. But in the resurrection, called the right hand of the Father, he is the first begotten. Hebrews chapter 2. Are you in church? Are you in church? Watch this. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of death, of God, sorry, should taste death for every man. Can we take verse 10 together? For it became him, for whom are all things, and whom are all things. Come on, in bringing many sons, hallelujah. So in the glory of God, what do we have? What do we have? To make the captain of the salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11. But he that sanctified, and they who are sanctified, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Is this the name? Is this the name? Is this the right hand of the Father? Say, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing the praise unto thee. Again I'll put my trust in the Lord. I and the children which God has given. The name speaks of multiplicity of sons. I am in the name today. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying I'm a new creature in Christ. If I say in the name of Jesus, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. If I say in the name of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. If I say in the name of Jesus, I have the witness of the Spirit. The name of Jesus refers to the finished work of Christ. To be called the new creation in Christ. We'll continue from here next week. Are you blessed? Are you blessed?